This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening, this is the Transfer Rumour Mill. Me, Matt Beadle, with Graham Butler, with you until 10 p.m. this evening. Plenty to discuss yet again today in the world of football, because Gareth Bale, the man we have not stopped talking about since we thought he was going to leave Real Madrid because Zinedine Zidane didn't want him at the club, apparently now does want him at the club. Graham, what is going on?
I have no idea. That's almost as bizarre as Tottenham's entire transfer window in the summer.
I mean, where do we start?
I was just about to say, I genuinely don't know where you begin. Zidane obviously had a bit of an agenda against him, wanted him out. I don't know how your thoughts and your process changes so quickly to maybe want him back. Now, I believe that the Chinese window shuts on Wednesday, so any move that materialises there has to be done. I might be wrong about Wednesday. I'm sure I've read it somewhere. It's a lot sooner than our one, I think, or a week before. Anyway, I think it's Wednesday, from what I was reading about Bale and stuff over the weekend. And I think we mentioned this last week, Matt. If he went to China, it's only for the money. I mean, the money that they are throwing at him would be ridiculous. And there's a long old sort of two sides to that story. One, you'd get those that say it's a waste of a career at 30 years old. What on earth are you doing going there? You've still got so much more to give. You're a multimillionaire anyway. Is that extra few £100,000 going to make a blind bit of difference? And on the other hand, you've got, no matter what job you're in, whether you're working in an office or a delivery driver or a warehouse worker or something, if you get offered that much of a pay rise, no matter where you are you going to turn it down? If someone throws £1 million a week at you, I'm sorry, but I would swim there myself and go and play there.
Would you really?
Yes. I would. And that's
at any stage of your career?
I think the way people look at the Chinese league is that they never see out their full-time contract there. They'll be on a 3-4 year deal. And probably bail out. I like it.
Badum-tish.
Yeah, they'll probably bail out after about 2 years, claiming homesickness or something, or they've had enough of the league and they want to play. They want to come back to Europe. 99%, I think, of the people that have gone out there have ended up back in Europe at some point. Mm-hmm. They collect their money and they come back. That is the only reason they've gone out there. And if someone is stupid enough to throw £1 million a week at me a week. I'm sorry, I would swim there myself, no matter how old I am, pick up that money, do it for my family, and come back.
Okay. Well, with all due respect, you're not Gareth Bale.
No, nowhere near it.
Who is
the same initials.
Sorry? Of course, yeah, GB. Unquestionably the most successful export that has ever gone abroad from Britain in football, yep, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, one of the things about Gareth Bale, and we've discussed this on numerous occasions to the point where I am a bit bored of it, to be honest, but we've got to cover it because it's massive news, is that he's a bit of a homeboy. When I say a homeboy, I don't mean like a rude boy wearing hoodies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
he likes
family
his home,
man.
Yeah, he likes his home comforts. So he struggled with the language in Spain. Why on earth would he go to China? I mean, if you're going to struggle with the Spanish language, you've not got a hope in hell with the Chinese language, with learning Mandarin.
No. That is the thing that everyone has openly come out and said about the language barrier and the sort of the culture of Spain. China is a completely different ball game. This isn't Europe. This isn't something he can try to maybe get used to in time. This is just like a complete change. There's not one thing he's going to understand going out there. He won't be used to the climate, he won't be used to the language, won't be used to the style of living, the humidity, everything. It's a just complete flip side of the coin for him. So with that in mind, I'm just shocked. I would be shocked if he ended up there. I would be, because of who he is.
Jiangsu Suning, I believe, is the club that that are in for Bale, or were reportedly in for Bale. But Florentino Perez doesn't want him to go on the cheap. You understand that, because they bought him for 85 million. You get that. His stock has, I mean, after what he's done for the club, you'd think his fee would have potentially gone up, but he's a 30-year-old. So can you sell a 30-year-old realistically for £80 million? I'm not so sure. The only person that is going to pay that money, or the only team or franchise or whatever you want to call it, is going to be in China. So Bale's camp are apparently furious. They're outraged that this move has been blocked. We've not heard a peep from Gareth Bale. And this is something else I want to discuss with you, because every time there is a transfer rumour, although Paul Pogba did come out and spoke in Tokyo about the fact that he maybe needed a new challenge, but didn't speak to the British media, cleverly spoke to the Japanese media that would get filtered through. Whether he knew that was going to happen or not, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's this theory that footballers go abroad and what they say to a publication abroad is abroad, and they don't think that people in England are going to hear it. Well, it's a much smaller world now and images and quotes are beamed around the world. But my initial point being, which was... the fact that... what was my initial point, Gareth?
About Bale not talking to the English media and you don't hear a word from him.
That's it. So Gareth Bale hasn't actually said anything. Yeah. We've only heard from Jonathan Barnett. So where are we at with this? Because players don't say a word, and I get that they remain tight-lipped, and he's been going through the mix zones after the friendlies. We saw him in the friendly against Arsenal, which he scored, obviously. But they don't say anything. They leave it to their agent. Would it be worth Gareth Bale, and whether he should do this or not, but just coming out and saying, this is the situation, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do?
I'll make you right. Did he not say something along those lines at the end of a Champions League final last year or the year before? And he had an interview with the English
in 2018.
He scored the overhead, didn't he?
He scored against
Liverpool.
Yeah, he said, I want to play football, so we're going to have to sort it out.
And it was a blunt interview that I think raises your point that I've never heard him come out and say. It was almost like he was saying, I just want to play football. I've been fit since September, but I've just not been playing, not been picked for whatever reason. I've not been injured. People are making out like I've had this injury-interrupted season. But I haven't. I have been fit. I've just not been playing. And it's time now for me to start playing. I want to be playing. And that was the first time I've ever heard that sort of line come out from him. He kind of does what everyone else does and just bats it to the side and just deflects it. And he's obviously told what to say by his press officer. But with all this speculation, we could talk about China. We could talk about the Premier League. We could talk about Paris Saint-Germain. We could talk about him now actually staying at Real. And would him coming out and sort of telling everyone, I don't even think he knows what's going on. I think there's so many people involved now, it's almost like a lamb to the slaughter. And as much as you'll just go where I'm telling you to go, and where Barnett, obviously Jonathan Barnett sees the money, he sees there's a bit of a cash incentive for him, and he's basically going to go around and tell Gareth, you're going there whether you like it or not.
I've never known a situation like this, especially not in recent years. I mean, you never really heard of this in years gone by anyway.
No.
The fact that a manager has been so vocal about wanting a player to leave. And that's the fact here, is that Zidane has wanted Gareth Bale to leave. That's what he said. Now it appears that Madrid are saying, we want Gareth Bale to stay. That can't be coming from Zidane. He's not had a change of heart after seeing Gareth Bale in a couple of pre-season friendlies against Arsenal and then the shambles that was the game against Atletico Madrid.
God, that was a nightmare, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
My take on that, and you follow it obviously closely in that, because obviously it's a big story and stuff, but I think that Florentino Perez has stuck his nose in there somewhere and said, regardless of the situation, regardless of what your feelings are for him, while he is still here and being paid X amount of money by this football club, you will play him. He is one of the highest earners in the club, if not in the world. He has to play in games. And if he's fit and pre-season is going on, and they've had an horrific pre-season, especially after that against Atletico Madrid a couple of days ago.
I mean, you haven't seen an Atletico Madrid derby like that in a long time. They are feisty, but you saw Diego Costa and Danny Carvajal getting involved. The fact that it was in New Jersey at the MetLife Stadium just kind of added to the complete weirdness of it all.
It was such a strange game as well. But again, he was playing in that, and you saw, I don't know how you kind of take it, but you saw Bale sort of laughing and joking at 7-1 down. And it's kind of... whether the cameras have picked up on that, and as much as trying to make a mountain out of a molehill by saying, look, he's mocking it all. He's mocking Zidane, and, you know, 7-1 down, and he's standing there laughing and joking. And it's almost like, well, you know, you've got to play me now because everyone else isn't pulling their weight. You're now forced to play me. So I'll just go about my business. I'll play at my own pace and do what I want to do until such a point where I can get out of here.
Everything now that you are going to see from Gareth Bale and everybody else at Madrid is going to be calculated. You know, every single movement that Gareth Bale makes is basically being puppeteered by Jonathan Barnett. This is what you do at this point in the game. This is what you do when you get to the mix zone. Everything that Gareth Bale is having to do, noticeably as well, he's been quite quiet on social media, I believe, as well, which is, you know, he can be quite active some of the time. Just a bit of news before we go on. Rob Cross has beaten Michael Smith in the World Match Play Darts Final 18-3. So another title for him, obviously won the PDC World Champs a couple of years ago. Great story from Rob Cross. And Idrissa Garner Gaye is apparently in Paris ahead of his move from Everton to PSG. What do you make of that one?
Strange.
Quite cheap. We're looking at like 28, 30 million.
It's a strange one. That wasn't one that I've seen, to be honest. I haven't seen that pop up from anywhere, and that, like, scrolling along the bottom of the screen there was pretty much the first time I'd heard of it. Not the worst, but you kind of look at him as, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, a poor man's Kante.
I think that's almost exactly how you look at him, yeah. And
he's not a bad player, and maybe in a better side, it will come to the fore a little bit more of what he has to offer. I think at Everton, and again, I'm not being disrespectful, but he's not in and around the greatest of players in that midfield area, in that frontline area. He's a kind of driving midfield player, plays a good forward pass from what I can gather and what I can remember watching Everton against Spurs and bits and pieces. He's not a bad player, and it should be really interesting to see how he gets on in a better team.
Not a bad player at all, and actually his statistics have always been very good. When you look at interceptions, yes, and tackles. When he was at Aston Villa in that abysmal season where they went down, he was actually top of the charts in and around N'Golo Kante there. So he was very, very good. I think that was the season that N'Golo Kante won the title with Leicester. And going forward, it has been exactly the same as well. You say he's not in and around spectacular players. One of the players he might be in and around is Wilfried Zaha, and we'll be talking about him after this.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport. You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill, and we're discussing 90s cartoons. No, we're not really. We're just talking in the break about certain 90s cartoons, one of them being Sharky and George. You remember Sharky and George,
yes,
don't you,
I
Graham?
Do. Yes.
Yeah? Any particular favourite 90s TV show that you tuned into?
Oh, God. Funhouse.
Ah, it's a whole lot of fun. Prizes to be won.
It's a real wacky show and everything goes, or is it something like that?
Something like that. Pat Sharp, the Brilliant. Mullet. Absolutely.
That one, and we've done this so many times, sort of my mates and that, and you go through what an old school set. This has got nothing to do with Transfer Rumour, but it's brilliant. Saturday evening on TV, mm-hmm, when I was a kid, about 10, I was born in 85, so it'd be about, 90s, something like that. You had, I think it was like Big Break at 10 to 6 with Jim Davidson. Then it was like, I think it was Catchphrase, Noel's House Party. I think there was another one in there somewhere. Blind Date, mm-hmm, or You Bet. Mm-hmm. And then I think Casualty at 8 o'clock. And that Casualty tone always used to make me a little bit scared. And then Match of the Day come on at, I think, 10 o'clock or 10 past 10 or something. And then that was my Saturday evening.
Just done the whole schedule.
Gladiators
was there, obviously. Yeah, that was ITV.
That was a belter of a Saturday evening.
Between the three. Yeah, absolutely. John Fashanu, of course, on Gladiators. Absolutely. There's the football link. And You Bet as well also had many footballers on. It was a very weird, wasn't it, with the panel show. And you often saw football challenges. Anyway, moving back to football, we were talking about Idrissa Garner Gaye before the break, and the fact that he is currently having a medical at PSG ahead of his likely move from Everton. And Everton are massively in the news yet again because this Zaha bid won't go away. Apparently, they've made a £55 million bid today to Palace for Wilfried Zaha. No players involved. We had heard before that Cenk Tosun was apparently part of the deal, that James McCarthy was apparently part of the deal. We had heard it was £60 million. But today, we're hearing that it's £55 million to Palace for Zaha.
I'm amazed that Zaha is being linked to Everton. 1 minute he's going to Arsenal, which for him would be obviously a step up in class and in terms of his career. But to go to Everton, for me, really doesn't make much sense.
Why?
It's probably not even a Palace, Everton. Yeah, that's more of a sideways step. They're not in any European competition. The only reason I think he'd be going there is obviously more money. That is primarily, for me, the only reason he would be going there. There is not one bit of Everton at the minute that I can see that you can sit there and go, they're going to challenge for the top six. They're going to be in and amongst that. They're going to really push the big guns. They've invested really, really well. They've got this young, energetic side with a good ethos. They know exactly what they're doing. I genuinely don't see where Everton are going. And if a bid for Zaha comes off and he ends up going there, it's a, for me personally, it's a head scratcher, because I would sit there and go, question Zaha's mentality. And as much as you say you want to go to a top six side, you say you want to progress, you want to play Champions League, you want to play European football, you want to go and express yourself on the biggest stage in football, I've just signed for Everton. On what basis does that work?
Interesting. If any Everton fans are listening, you can get in touch with us and have a go at Graham Butler. 0208 70 20 558, or on the socials at Love Sport Radio. I mean, you ask where Everton are going. If you were to look at the end of their season, pretty much from February onwards, only lost two games, only drew three games. The rest were, you know, you're looking at 5-6 wins on the bounce. The way it's going with Marco Silva is that he's sort of developing a bit of an identity at Everton. What Wilfried Zaha has got is the fact that Yannick Bolasie went there from Palace for around £28-30 million. Didn't quite work out. He's not lingering in football's wilderness, but he's nowhere near the player that he was. So Zaha can look at that in two ways. In one way, he can say, right, I don't want it to work out for me like it did with Yan, but I also don't want it to work out the way it did for me at United. And if Arsenal are in for Nicolas Pepe, which we believe they are, and that move could get over the line, Zaha does want to step up. If you look at Palace's business so far in the transfer window, absolutely abysmal. Stephen Henderson is coming from Nottingham Forest as a goalkeeper. It's just going to be a backup. Yes. And Jordan Ayew is coming for £2.5 million.
He was on loan, wasn't he?
1 goal in 20 appearances last season. He adhered himself to the Palace faithful a bit towards the end of last season because he ran around a bit. But what Zaha will be is a focal point of that Everton side. And I know they've got Richarlison, who I guess kind of plays in a similar position to what Zaha would play. But I personally don't think it's the worst move in the world. The problem is the perception of Everton now and the reputation they're building. And this is why they need to sign a player like Zaha to change it. Because what Everton have become is a club where the likes of Fabian Delph, after they've been at the top, go, okay, I'm not good enough for the top anymore. Like Theo Walcott, I'm not good enough for the top anymore. I'm going to move a rung down. And you're in very dangerous waters if that's what you're going to project yourselves to be as a club like Everton.
It's a really, really valid point. And it kind of, I think that kind of heightens what I was saying about that. I personally think they don't have any direction, in as much as it's two transfers that are completely opposite to each other, which says to me, which way are we going here? You sign Fabian Delph, who's a winner, experienced, and it's a kind of a cheapish sort of signing. You look in today's market, 8 million is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, we're going to add. So I looked at that signing and I thought, okay, maybe they're going for a little bit more premiership experience. Those that have been in and around it actually won things, and try and get the youngsters that we've got in and around the team, push them on and develop them and mature them that way. But now they're going to bid for someone like Zaha with a sort of an extortionate amount of money of 55 million. And you think, okay, well, that's completely opposite to what you was doing 3 or 4 weeks ago. So which way is it going to go? The thing I see with Zaha is, if he ended up at Arsenal, and that's the only real club that have been linked with him for the top six, so we use Arsenal as the focal point. If he plays left wing, which is where he plays there, in the Arsenal team, you've got Aubameyang, Lacazette, okay, Ozil, in and around him. You've got people that are going to create chances. He's going to be that winger to create chances for the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette. If I was him and looked at Arsenal, I would say, if I went to Arsenal, I could obviously heighten my state there. I can heighten myself, I could chip in with, I've got more chance of chipping in with 10, 15 assists to them two, and I've got more chance of scoring goals alongside them two as well. I'm going to be creating far more chances. I'm going to get a lot more of the ball. We're going to be attacking a lot more than we're going to be defending. I can really sort of stand out here and show what I'm about. With Everton, yeah, he's going to be that sort of focal point of the attack there, but he's not going to be in any bigger position than what he is at Palace, because he's their focal point there as well. So for me, he'd be like just up in sticks, but being in exactly the same position on the pitch and undertaking exactly the same role.
The problem that we've got here is that this isn't Zaha. This is Palace. So Palace appear to be not blocking the move, but asking for a lot of money, because after they sold Aaron Wan-Bissaka to United for 50 million, they don't really need the money. And Arsenal are now in for Nicolas Pepe. By all accounts, the word, and Dave Seager was on the fans forum before this show, he said that a lot of Arsenal fans are happier with the fact that they've got a Nicolas Pepe. Better first touch, better distribution. With Zaha, sometimes it does become all about Zaha. So Zaha's in a bit of a funny situation now, because he's made it quite clear that he wanted that move. The only club he can really go to is Spurs. If you're looking at that top, top club, he can't go to Chelsea because they've got a transfer ban. Although there has been talk this week as well about the fact that he could potentially move to Chelsea, and that talks have apparently been going on that look, just stick at Palace for one more year. We'll come in for you next summer. And that way, at least maybe there's an agreement with him and Palace. The fear I have for Palace and Zaha is that relations then get soured. He has a bit of a strop and doesn't have a decent season next season because he stays at Selhurst Park where he doesn't want to be.
That's such a valid point. And we've seen it so many times how that's happened. And your stock drops after 12 months, you know, one dodgy season, and you suddenly go off the radar. And you do just end up getting forgotten about. I think for his sake, I like Zaha. And I was just making the points I was making about it then, sort of just, I was just looking at the sort of the logic behind him moving from Palace to Everton. As an actual player, I really, really like Zaha, and I wouldn't mind seeing him at Spurs in our team with the players that we've got in and around him, because I think he's very, very dangerous. He's a willing runner with the ball, which is not, you don't see a lot of that in modern football now. It's all one touch, two touch play, quick passing, quick feet, pass and move. Zaha is a very rare commodity that he will actually get the ball and take players on. And he's a big, strong, athletic player. He draws fouls, he gets penalties, and he can finish when he wants to. So I think there is something there that he has to move, but I think his next move from where he is now has to be the right move for his career and not another stepping stone.
Yeah, it's interesting. A report actually out of The Sun just shortly, a little while ago, said that Palace are absolutely under no circumstances now looking to sell Wilf Zaha, and not at any cost, regardless of the bid that comes in, will they let him go? So that one is set to rumble on and on and on until the end of the window. Another player, though, that Everton are apparently in for is Juve's Moise Kean. Now, listen, this is a highly rated player in Serie A with Italy. He's bagged 2 and 3 for Italy. He made 17 appearances last season and scored 7, assisted 1. He's a very good player. You like to look at him very much in the sense that he scores goals whenever he plays, really. It's early days. He's quick. He's strong. He runs at players. I know that's very generic to say that about a young attacking forward, but the rumour is that it's 36 million and a buyback clause for Everton if they go for Moise Kean. Juve clearly happy to let him go because he's young, but they want the option to buy him back.
It's a strange one because I saw him come onto the scene at the end of last season, and it was only sort of the last month or so, 6 weeks of the season, that he started really pulling up trees and people were starting to notice him. Again, I've still like an agenda against Everton, but I just... The sort of the upbringing that he's had in the last 6 months and sort of how he's come onto the scene and how everyone's suddenly talking about him now, I wouldn't personally see him going anywhere else other than staying at Juventus and learning his trade off of Ronaldo. It's clear that Juventus are looking to sell somebody. I read, I don't know whether how true this is, but I read somewhere during the week that Juventus are in a little bit of a debt. Although they've made these free transfers, there's an awful lot of signing on fees and wages going their ways. They've just spent £65 million on De Ligt. So they have to recoup somewhere along the line. Obviously, this whole talk about Dybala leaving, that's how they'll recruit that 65 million. But it looks like they've got to get rid of someone. I don't see Moyes keen for them to be the one. I think he's young, he's keen to learn.
So that's two puns you've made in the show, mate.
I know, I'm on fire. No, but I think for him personally, he would do really well to stay at Juventus. And if Dybala was the one that left, I couldn't see him moving as well. Learn your trade off Ronaldo, and his stock again will go up in a year, 2 years. His figure will double.
Indeed, it will. Right, that is 30 minutes down on the transfer rumour mill. So far, the rumours are that Bale isn't going anywhere, that Zaha isn't going anywhere, and that Moise Keane isn't going anywhere. We'll have more rumours after this.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport. You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill. Me, Matt Beadle, here with Graham Butler. Right, we're going to move on to Liverpool now. And this isn't so much a rumour. Well, it's not a rumour at all, because Liverpool have signed 16-year-old Harvey Elliott from Fulham. He played today in the game against Napoli, a disastrous game for Liverpool because they lost 3-0. And Klopp says that it's been a little bit foolish because they had a pretty strong side out. But Klopp has been saying a hell of a lot recently, and we're going to come on to that. But first, Harvey Elliott, Graham.
That really ruffles my feathers, that transfer.
Oh, you do not want to ruffle Graham Butler's feathers.
No, I don't mean it like that. And I said to you, this is not a rant hour. This is when I saw this on the to-do list for today, he's a lad that I don't know personally. I've seen bits of him play. Yes, very talented lad for his age. I think it is the most stupidest move he could possibly do for that age, for his age. 16 years old, he's obviously been courted by Liverpool. Now, he only come onto the scene this season, and not even this season, this year. I think it was only like 3 or 4 months ago that he made his debut, and suddenly everyone's eyes have lit up and seen this 16-year-old English player making his debut in the Premier League, and everybody has clearly gone, who's this lad? Who is he?
Youngest player to ever play in the Premier League. Youngest, 16 years and 16. 30 days.
So in my eyes, I think, right, this boy has got to be absolutely something special. Is he? I haven't seen enough of him to answer that question. But if I was that kid at 16 years old, the first thing Liverpool should have done if they were to sign him is get yourself a proper haircut and smarten up. Because in my eyes, if you look good, you play good. And that is the ethos I've always been brought up alongside. And I don't think he looks respectable enough
Hang on, I'm going to pull you up on this.
Go
mate.
On.
So you're saying that Harvey Elliott's hair
yep.
is an issue with the signing here. Now, in some respects, I get what you're saying. You look at Cristiano Ronaldo when he signed for Man United and he had those two weird blonde little curly bits. Instantly, Sir Alex turned around and said, snip those off. Sir Alex Ferguson hated any kind of hair change. I remember Lee Sharp talking about the fact that he used to shave his head, and he came down one night when they'd been in the hotel, and he'd shaved his head right down. I think John O'Kane bicked it pretty much, and Sir Alex lost his nut.
Yep.
Absolutely lost his nut. Quite interestingly, a couple of days later, Eric Cantona did the same thing. Not as severe. Sir Alex didn't say a thing. So obviously, he picked and chose who he picked on. But his hair, yeah, look, he's got a bit of a long hair, man bun type of thing going on. But what you're saying, that before he was to sign with Liverpool, he needed to think, right, I've got to sort my Barnet out first, because that gives off a message.
Not necessarily. What he deems that acceptable. That's why he looks like that. To me, he looks like a prat. He does. He's 16 years old. If I was Liverpool and they really rated him, and I'm getting agitated here, right? But
if
Liverpool
like
fancied him, fine. That's great. If you see something there, fine. Put in a bid. If you want to buy him, that's your choice. If Klopp has bid for him or Alex Inglethorpe has bid for him, I would say to him, yeah, right. Great, we'll have you. We want you up here. This is where we see you going. We'll sit down with you. We'll show you around. This is what we see for you. First of all, smarten up your appearance. I want you to look like a young adult. I don't want you to look like a yob that's been dragged off the streets with lines in your hair.
He's not a young adult yet, though, is he?
No,
still a kid.
He's still only a kid. You're 16 years old. You've got a rascal haircut. You look like an idiot. Please, smarten yourself up. Act like a young adult, mature like a young adult, and you will probably progress a little bit further because you will start behaving and have behavioural actions like a young adult. At the minute, you look like a 15-year-old that's been dragged off the streets, and you're only a year off of it. You're only 16 yourself. To me, the way he looks and the way he conducts himself around I wouldn't say team meetings because I've never seen him, but when you see him on the telly and I look at his body language and I see the way he conducts himself, 16 years old, that boy has now gone to Liverpool. In my head, I see kid's gone big time. That's going to get to his head. Look at me, everyone. I'm at Liverpool now. And I worry about where he's going to end up and how he's going to end up. I'd like to think he blossoms into a fantastic English young talent and is the next big thing at 19, 20. But in my eyes, Matt, and I'm sorry to say this, but a Scouser gets hold of him and teaches him how to how to look and appear like a Steven Gerrard. When you look at Steven Gerrard at a 17-year-old, he had a crew cut haircut, clean shaven, proper little Scouser boy. Mm-hmm. But he looked like a footballer. He looked like a young Rooney. Nothing flash, just...
Well, we are talking about a man who got a hair transplant here.
Well,
two or three times.
Bless him.
Because of his image.
It wasn't going great.
I'm going to stick up for Harvey Elliott here because I get what you're saying, and I'm very much a traditionalist, when it comes to football. And I like my players just to, like you say, just not to have any quirks about them. But this is part of what football is now. It's part of the brand. He is only 16 years old. He's immediately recognisable on FIFA. That is all part of it, because instantly you've got a little look there that is instantly recognisable on FIFA. And he's 16. I think if anybody can get into him as well, he's not old enough to be making these informed decisions, I'd say. I don't think as a 16-year-old he's thinking, and this is more to do with the people around him, I'd say, mm-hmm. who'd say, look, just maybe snip your hair. But at the same time, he probably likes his hair. He probably likes having long hair. Might not be long before he starts to lose it. So if anybody is into him, Jurgen Klopp will probably say, look, you need to clean up your act a little bit. Mm. But for now, I don't think that's a hugely pressing priority.
I see that. And the long hair, I'm not going to sit here and sort of judge someone's appearance. That's contradictive because I am. But the long hair, to me, isn't an issue. I think because you can tying it up and you can neaten it up. There is ways around that. It's all the lines in his hair and the lines in his beard. You're 16 years old, mate.
But that's it. He's 16 years old.
To me, I would look at that, and if he walked into Melwood and I could see Jamie Carragher looking at him as he walked in and went, what the hell is this? You might be a good footballer, but I'm sorry, times now for me have progressed and you start being recognised a lot more at a younger age. So you start having to have those young adult maturities about you. You start having them traits as a young adult, and sort of you're now being classed as, unfortunately at 16, 17, you're now still being classed as an adult. If you're going to be thrust into the big time and you've now made this jump to Liverpool, you've got to start behaving like a 20, 21-year-old, even at 16. And as bad as that sounds, that's just how it's going. For me, I would sit there and say, right, I'm sorry, I know that's the way you look, but you represent Liverpool Football Club. I want you to smarten up. I want you to start behaving a little bit more maturely, and we'll push you on as much as we can.
Interesting words from Graham Butler there on the move to Liverpool from Fulham for Harvey Elliott. And we mentioned Jurgen Klopp, who's also had some interesting words this week. Keen to get your thoughts on this, because this is about transfers and the fact that they've been linked with various clubs. And he's bit back a little bit. Jurgen, he's bit back. He said, I'm going to read out some of the stuff he said. You know, we have to pay bills. Sorry, everybody has to pay bills. We have to pay bills. We invested money in this team. Now it looks like we're not. But we are not in this fantasia land where you just get whatever you want. Now, he's obviously having a little bark at Man City there. He's also commented on United earlier on in the week with regards to Bruno Fernandes and the fact that if he goes to United, you know, obviously he's a really good player and we'll face him. And when he was quizzed about United's transfer dealings, he said, it's not nice, but it's not our cup of tea, to be honest. Now, quite clearly, he's having a bit of a dig at United again, which most Liverpool players, staff, managers, whatever, will always try and do. And when he was linked with Philip Coutinho and moved back to Anfield there as well, he said, look, a fantastic footballer and all that stuff, but it would be a big, 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 big money signing, and it's not our year for that. So he's really coming out on the offensive here with the fact that Liverpool aren't going to sign anyone. They've obviously signed Harvey Elliott, but they're not going to bring anybody else in. What do you make of this?
Strange. Really strange. Obviously, they've got wealthy owners. They're well-backed, and I'm sure that if Klopp clicked his fingers, I'm sure that they would act upon it. They have done in the past. When you look at Alisson and Van Dijk, that worked, you know. Again, apart from Harvey Elliott, they've only signed, Sander van der Berg?
Yeah, van der Berg,
For 4 million.
Dutchman, yeah.
Again, I think he was included today against Napoli. But I look at my own side, I look at Tottenham, and if I was a Liverpool fan in exactly the same position as what I am with how I feel with Spurs, is that you've just won the Champions League. You've come second in a Premier League where 99 other years, that point tally wins you the league. So you're nearly there with the league. You're nearly there. You're within spitting distance of Man City, who have got these unbelievable riches, these unbelievable players. So we're obviously going in the right direction. We've won the Champions League. You can't really ask for much more than that. What do we... Now, this is how I see Spurs. So you think to yourself, what do you need to do to get to the next level? Every single year, you have to improve. You stand still, you go backwards. It's just a fact of Premier League and life in general. If you stand still, you regress. You have to just keep moving forward. Now, everybody said last year, Liverpool... No, got lucky is a bit harsh, but they were lucky with injuries that Salah, Firmino, Mane didn't miss too many games, really. So they were heavily reliant on them three. They've got rid of Daniel Sturridge this year, so they're now reliant a little bit more on Origi. You've got the likes of Lallana, and I know he said Oxlade-Chamberlain is like another new signing. Lallana he sees as like another new signing because they're now...
Like a number six role.
Injury three, but for how long? How long is Lallana going to stay injury-free for? I won't give him till Christmas. So on that basis, you're going to lose them for periods of time throughout the season again. James Milner isn't getting any younger, but he seems to be getting fitter, but he's not getting any younger. They've got rid of Moreno. So any injury now to Robertson, they haven't got a backup left-back. There's no one else. Nathaniel Clyne, I think, is injured again.
He's now injured, yeah.
You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, Gomez, okay. So when you look at their actual squad, one or two injuries, and they could be in a bit of trouble, which really surprises me that he hasn't gone, do you know what, two big signings again this year will see us over the line and really, really, really push Man City to the last, and I think could get us a Premier League. And whatever positions they are, who knows? I still think centre midfield is their sort of downfall in as much as they haven't got someone world-class in there. You know, they've kind of... Their back four of Alexander-Arnold, they need another centre-half, I think, to go with Van Dijk. Robertson got a good goalkeeper.
So you don't think Joe Gomez can be that
he
main
could
man?
Be, yes. He could be. If he could keep himself fit, I think there is your right-sided centre-half alongside Van Dijk, 100%. That's a really good shout. Their front three speaks for itself. They've got good players in midfield, not world-class players. And their defence and their midfield, for me, masks the averageness of their centre midfield. So for me, I'd have said, right, give me the money. I need two world-class midfielders. A Philip Coutinho, a sort of really, really world-class number 10, and a good centre midfielder, like someone like a Tielemans, a really good, young, energetic centre midfielder. And that is me done. And I will get away with a couple of injuries here, there and there. The fact that he's not done anything and just left it as is and maybe lost a couple of players in the meantime as well would worry me a little bit, if I'm honest.
And Coutinho made available for 120 million, by all accounts, by Barca. Klopp has said quite outright he doesn't want him back. Do you think, though, in that case then, with the argument you just presented regarding Liverpool's midfield, that he should bring Coutinho back to Anfield?
I would, definitely. I think he was... Clearly, Coutinho to Liverpool is exactly the same as a situation as to Bale to Tottenham, in as much as no one ever really wants to cut the nose off to spite the face or sit there with a towel between the legs and bring someone back who you've sold. It's never nice to see that. However, if it improves the team, of course you would do it. The fact that Coutinho was loved by the fans there as well, and I'm pretty 100% certain, if Coutinho was brought back to Liverpool, he again will be adored by those Liverpool fans. And in and around Salah, Mane and Firmino, he would flourish. He would really, really flourish. And just say to him, like, look, you're not going to be on the peripheral here. You're not going to be judged. I just want you to run games from the number 10 role. There's, you know, we'll get you two midfielders behind you to do all the donkey work, and I'll just leave you four to go and do what you like. And Coutinho in that Liverpool team now would be a massive link between their midfield and their forward line.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jurgen Klopp saying this week that Liverpool aren't in Fantasia land, that United's business isn't his cup of tea, and they're not going to be spending any more money. Of course, Harvey Elliott has come in, as has Sepp Vandenberg. But as things stand, Liverpool not in the transfer market. Man United most definitely are, and thereafter, Paulo Dybala.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yep, this is Love Sport, and you are listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill. Me, Matt Beadle, here with Graham Butler. The Transfer Rumour Mill, indeed, because rumours are circulating over and over and over in the football world about who's moving to who, and as things stand, no one's really moving anywhere. So we will continue to do these Transfer Rumour Mills because we've got so much to talk about. And a man now that we're hearing is interesting Man United, he's also interesting Spurs, and it was Spurs that first came to be that were interested in this man, is Paulo Dybala, the Juventus forward, the Argentinian forward who didn't have a great year last year at Juventus because Cristiano Ronaldo came in, obviously. Paulo Dybala scored 5 goals or so the first season in Serie A. For the past 5 seasons, I believe, that he's not hit double figures. So Ronaldo is clearly the main man. Dybala, a young, hungry, attacking, decent striker, looks like he might move on from Juve. Spurs interested, but United now apparently also interested in something of a swap deal with Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, he's one that I think would do really... I'd love to see him in a Premier... Obviously, clearly, I'd love to see him at Spurs. And for me, that would... If he came to Spurs, that would sort of bring back memories of when we signed Klinsmann and Ginola, and it's kind of like one of those fantasy signings. You just don't want to, you don't believe until you actually see it. And it's like, my God, it's actually happened. But I think wherever he went, I think he'd be brilliant in the Premier League. He's such a good little player. He's got so much skill, so much to offer. And at 25, someone has to take a punt on him somewhere. If his sort of career has stagnated slightly at Juventus, and if Ronaldo is still around, and obviously, as we were talking earlier, the emergence of Moyes Keane, where is Dybala going to fit in there? When you look at the other attacking options they've got in there as well, is it time for him to move on? Clearly. And at 25, I think the Premier League would be amazing for him. As opposed to going to Man United, I was led to believe that Juventus were in some sort of financial, sort of not difficulty, but some sort of restraint. So a swap deal for Lukaku really doesn't make much sense to me, in as much as you're sort of not alleviating the problem. You're sort of making it worse, if anything, because of Lukaku's wage demands.
And also because you've got a player like Mario Mandzukic there who, listen, that's not like for Lukaku, but when you think of tall target men, not that a target man exists at the top echelons of the game, but that's what you've got there. And I think just, you're obviously a Spurs fan as well, Graham. No Spurs shirt tonight, just a ripped gym t-shirt, which I'm thoroughly appreciating. He is going to fall foul of the situation at Spurs, right? Because we know what the deal is there. Harry Kane is your main striker. Lucas Moura scored a hat-trick in the Champions League semi-final second leg last season. That wasn't enough to make him start in the final. If you bring in Dybala, Kane is your number one, right? He's your main forward. So you've got Kane up top. But then if you bring in Dybala, what happens to Lucas Moura? What happens to Heung-min Son? What's the deal with Dele then? Where does he fit into this little diamond or trio, whatever it is that you're going to call it? Does this mean Christian Eriksen's moving on? I just think this is the issue with Spurs, in that if you're out for a striker, Fernando Llorente obviously waiting in the wings as well, just to come on any given moment. Vincent Janssen has obviously moved on now, finally. Disastrous signing that was. Where does Paulo Dybala fit at Spurs?
For me, with Dybala at Spurs, I think he fits in alongside Kane with a sort of midfield diamond behind him. And that is how Spurs get away with playing two up front and giving Kane a little bit more support and sort of being a little bit, not direct, but having a little bit more potency up top and actually having another attack-minded player up there with a striker's instinct as opposed to an attacking midfielder's instinct. And I 100% hear what you're saying about where would Heung-min Son fit in? Where would Lucas Moura fit in? Especially with Sonny, who's been really progressive over the last 3 or 4 years that he's been there and really come out as sort of like a one of the first names on the sheet, so to speak. If he's fit now, he's become that sort of player. You have the likes of Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, Lo Celso, if ever he decided to come and join us. I think he's still in the Real Betis departures lounge somewhere, still sitting there. But if he ever decided to come and join us, you've got Ndombele, Winks, Sissoko, you've got all these players. And a lot of people on social media now, well, where does he play? Well, where will Eriksen play? Well, I'm sorry, but Eriksen and Dele Alli have had it far too easy now for 18 months. And for me, their form, especially Dele Alli, has dropped rapidly.
Absolutely.
Because they've been so void of competition. They've been so settled in their team that they know if they're fit, they're going to play. I would be amazed as to find out when the last time Dele Alli was actually subbed for a game with someone directly in place of him in his position at Spurs. I'd struggle. You probably wouldn't find it for the last 2 years, such as that when he's fit, he plays. He's very rarely left out, the same with Eriksen, very rarely left out through loss of form because there's not been anybody else there to replace them. I go back to Man City, in as much as you cannot have enough in today's day and age, in the amount of games they have to play, the amount of competitions they're in, especially when you look at the Premier League and the Champions League being the two main ones, you can't have enough midfielders in your team. Defence, you only play with sort of three or four, so you could maybe have, you know, couple of replacements, so you could probably get away with six or seven defenders, six maximum really, and a youth team player. But midfielders and forwards is where you're constantly rotating all the time. That's where the energy is lost in games, the amount of mileage that they cover during games, the sort of the pace that they play at. They constantly need rotating, and Man City have proved that. When you look at their list, that you could rattle off Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, Sane, Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, Phil Foden. You know, that list is ridiculous. And everyone used to sit there and go, well, where's he going to play? Where's he going to play? But they find a way. Mm. And you look at their subs bench, and if they're struggling, they can bring on. How many times have we sat there and gone, God, look at their subs bench. Mahrez, Sane, Gabriel Jesus. Imagine bringing them three on. Who have Spurs got? We had Fernando Llorente, George Kevin and Kudu, and Oliver Skip. You know, and you look at it and you go, well, that's because we've not got the depth. So then, when you sign people like Dybala and hopefully Lo Celso and Ndombele and nobody leaves, Spurs fans then can't sit there and say, well, where's he going to play? Well, where's he going to play? I would rather have all this depth and find a way of playing them. And I would have sort of Sonny or Eriksen in behind, and you have Dybala and Kane up front with the likes of Winks and Ndombele and Sissoko in midfield, and say to those people like Eriksen and Dele, you've got competition now. You've got to step up.
Absolutely. You mentioned Man City there as well. Leroy Sané. I kind of feel like we're going to be talking about the same players for the next couple of weeks before this window closes. But Leroy Sané, again, linked with Bayern Munich this week. Interesting, this one, because Pep Guardiola has repeatedly said that he wants Sané to stay. He said, you know, I said two or three times that we want him. We want him here. He's also said, I appreciate Leroy Sané, but he's quite clearly chucked in a couple of nuggets as well, saying he's got a long way to go, that he can be a world beater, but he's not that player yet. Interestingly, Niko Kovac, the Bayern Munich boss, has also come out this week and said that our leadership is very engaged in the situation at Man City. I'm confident and assume that we will get him. That's a really strong comment. I'm confident and assume that we will get him.
I think, who are we to argue with Germans? But I think that will happen. I think he will go there. Bayern Munich have said all summer he's the one that they want to replace Robin and Ribéry. It makes sense. Young, German, world class, and I think if Bayern came in with 70 odd million for him, I think they could quite easily get him. Quite easily.
Really? You think it'd be that simple?
Yeah, I think it's come out over the course of a season or so that Sané, despite being a world beater, and he was obviously left on the bench a lot last year, and everyone was questioning it, saying, why? He's such a world class player. Every time he's on, he performs miracles. But I think he'll end up there for the sake of Sané's career. He will start every week. He'll be loved that he's German, and it'll be the world beater that they need to replace Robin and Ribéry with.
Absolutely. So Sané to Bayern Munich, says Graham Butler. But Gareth Bale, sorry, not to anywhere but Real Madrid. Paul Pogba, apparently not to anywhere but Man United. Wilfried Zaha, not to anywhere but Crystal Palace, it would seem. Where's Sean Longstaff going to go? We've heard that he's going to United, but Steve Bruce has said no. And Mike Ashley this week has said he probably shouldn't own a football club. He doesn't understand anything about football, and he's negative to Newcastle. The transfer rumour mill, that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.